And from the fastest train on Earth to one of the fastest rock climbers, Lynn Hill was the first person to free climb a wall of Yosemite's El Capitan, known as the Nose, and the first to do it in just one day. She did that back in the 90s. She has been climbing since the 70s, and she's featured in the new documentary Valley Uprising that premieres on the Discovery Channel tomorrow. She joins us from New York. Lynn Hill, welcome to Here and Now.
Well, thank you.
Well, you have been climbing now for 40 years. Do you still get the same thrill out of it that you once did?
It's not exactly the same. After years of climbing, it becomes more of a moving meditation. And it's unlike the first day you climb when you look down and you get that feeling in your gut of, oh, my God, what am I doing here? So you get used to being off the ground, and it's a much different challenge now than it was.
Are you scared ever at this point after doing it for so long? Does anything cause fear in a climb?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes when you're in a situation where your protection is well below your feet and you look down and there are boulders or things that you might land on if you fall, especially when you're close to the ground, maybe you're 20 feet off the ground and if you fall, you could hit something. Those are times when I do experience a sense of fear, but I try not to focus on that.
Well, how often do you fall at this point?
It depends on what I'm doing. If I'm bouldering, which is not usually with a rope, it's just with a crash pad, something that we put at the base of the boulder so that if you fall, you're not falling onto a jagged rock.
Yeah.
So, you know, that could be numerous falls in an afternoon, but you're jumping down. Then if you're on a climb that's challenging, oftentimes you do fall before you figure out how to do it.
Well, let's talk about Yosemite, because this is a place that you've got quite a history with at this point. What has made it such a mecca for rock climbing?
Well, it's one of the most beautiful places. It's just really impressive to have a 3,000-foot wall that you can access so easily. You can walk 20 minutes to the base of El Cap.
And you were the first to free climb the nose of El Cap. How did you do that? How did you do something that had not been done like that before? What did you do that others hadn't?
I had been climbing for 20 years, and I started climbing in Southern California, where there's a lot of crack climbing, and I learned to climb in the traditional style. And then as I traveled around and lived actually in upstate New York, I learned how to climb on different types of rock. And then I moved to Europe and I competed on the international climbing circuit. So I had quite a bit of experience in different types of rock and different types of situations. So I had a different vision of climbing than most people at that time. And a lot of people did try to free climb El Capitan and specifically the nose route. And I just wanted to do it so badly. I looked at the rock differently, I think, than most people. And I just tried different methods. You have to be persistent and try different things that haven't been done if you're trying to be the first at something.
And that wasn't enough for you. You decided then later to do it in a day, do it even faster than you had done it before.
Yes. Most free climbers, if you go to a climbing gym or a cliff, you only climb maybe 100 feet. So you start at the bottom and you get to the top and you free climbed that section. Well, since El Capitan is 3,000 feet, it's a much different challenge. So I decided to try to free climb it in one day to see if I could do that, because the most difficult section is actually about 2,500 feet off the ground. Hmm. So you have to be very efficient in how you approach the route and try to follow your natural intuition. And it worked in my case, except for when I got to the most difficult section, about 2,500 feet off the ground, I did fall. I fell three times.
Hmm.
And once you fall, that's a blow to your psyche.
I bet.
And yeah, it's hard to believe in yourself after that. But I kept pushing it. I had to rest about 45 minutes in between each try. So you're just hanging at the belay in this case, or actually you're sitting on a flake of rock, just sitting there looking out at the view. And during that time, you have to prepare yourself mentally to give it your best and not have doubt get in the way of your focus.
What was it like to be a woman, the only woman in many cases in a very male-dominated sport.
I did have one woman that I climbed with in the same group with the men. Her name is Mari Gingery, and it was great having a female companion that I could, you know, figure out our own methods. Oftentimes, we would do things much different than the men, and I felt that they encouraged us. They knew that we loved climbing as much as them. We were all bonded by our common passion for climbing, so it didn't seem like we were having to battle anything.
But do you think that it has changed now 40 years later? Does it feel like a sport that is equally male and female, or how is it different now?
There are still more men than women in the sport, but there are a lot more women now, and really strong women, and kids too. It's amazing to watch the kids climb.
Well, if there's a kid that is watching this documentary this weekend on the Discovery Channel who hasn't gotten into climbing yet but is fascinated by it, what would you tell them? What would your piece of advice be for them?
Follow your passion and don't be so concerned about the grade. Just go out there and look at the climb for what it is and try to do your best to adapt yourself to the rock. And don't worry if you're small or tall or big or small, whatever it is. You can adapt yourself to the rock, and it's about that process. And the results are not that important. Getting to the top is often not the most important thing. It's how you get to the top and your experience in that process.
Lynn Hill, a world-famous rock climber, featured in the documentary Valley Uprising, which premieres tomorrow on the Discovery Channel. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.